a lot of backpacking when I was a bit younger and hadn't really used drugs before I'd left, but I kind of adopt the attitude that you'd give anything a go once.
23-year-old David is what Lisa Pryor describes as a recreational drug user. She wants people like David to support the decriminalisation of drugs to help the more vulnerable users that we so often hear about.
I feel absolutely confident that decriminalisation is the way to go. In other words, that if you get caught with drugs, it should be treated as a health problem rather than a criminal problem, and you shouldn't go to jail. I feel like the laws as they stand now don't really disadvantage the average occasional recreational drug user. It does mean that, you know, it's a bit more difficult maybe to get drugs than otherwise would be, and there's certainly a problem with unreliable quality when it's illegal. But the people who are really disadvantaged by the laws as they are now are the addicts whose lives are destroyed by drugs. They're the ones that will really benefit from reform. But I feel like people who have been recreational drug users like myself, we need to stand up for law reform for the sake of those people, and we need to talk about drugs in a rational way for the sake of improving the public policy debate, even if it isn't going to directly benefit us.
Why do you think the public and our politicians are so resistant to decriminalising drugs?
One of the reasons is that, well, people are afraid to speak out, partly for a really noble reason, which is that we're scared that if you say anything that's equivocal about drugs, you're going to somehow be sending the wrong message to teenagers. And I think it is a really important point that you need to make it really clear that it's not, that there are dangers associated with drugs, and it's certainly not something that 16-year-olds should be taking. But one of the things I wanted to do with this book is actually show there is a way of talking about drugs that is responsible but also honest, and I think that's a starting point to improving the debate.
Now, in the book, you talk about the system in Portugal where drugs have been decriminalised and offences are not treated as crimes but, as you say, more like a parking fine. Do you think this system would work in Australia?
I do. I do. There's nothing that different enough about Australia compared to Portugal that would suggest that it wouldn't work. It doesn't help anyone to send them to jail for taking drugs, but in particular, yeah, actually referring people to detox or to rehab is a much more sensible way to deal with people who are caught with heroin even.
The system over there, from what I understand in the book, is that if you're found with a certain amount which is deemed for personal use, it is just like getting a fine and then you're, you know, sent off on your way.
Well, what happens is that if you've got less, if you're found with less than 10 days' supply of drugs on you, then you're referred to a panel. The panel consists of a social worker, a psychologist, and a legal advisor. If they determine you are just a recreational user and you're not getting yourself in serious trouble, then you can be let off with a warning or a fine for repeated offences. But if that panel decides you're actually an addict and you're in trouble, that's when they refer you to rehab. And if you refuse, there can be other punishments, like you can have your driver's license taken away from you, or you can lose the right to practice in your particular field, like you can be struck off as a lawyer or a doctor or a taxi driver.
You also talk about wanting more safety measures in place so that people can access information about the quality of the drugs that they are taking. But to do this, drugs would have to be manufactured by pharmacies. Do you think that this would attract more people to drug taking, as it would almost seem legitimate?
I think that's an interesting question, and there isn't a known answer, but I absolutely believe that there are all kinds of ways of creating safeguards so that it isn't just a free-for-all. Sometimes people who are against legalisation, they put forward this idea that legalisation would mean that any convenience store on any street corner would be able to sell any drug. But that's not how it would work. It would be much more restricted. Well, like, say, for example, with heroin, if heroin was legalised, the kind of proposal for the way that would be done would be it would be only available on prescription for people who had already been through methadone and had failed on methadone. And, you know, so there'd be all these safeguards in place. It wouldn't be just a matter of anyone can go out and buy heroin.
And what are your hopes for the future?
My hope is that Australia can reclaim its really proud history of being at the forefront of harm minimisation, and that's something we can be really proud of. In the 80s, we were amazing at dealing with HIV and introducing needle exchange programs and so forth, and I think it's time for us to reignite the debate about drugs and move forward in a way that's rational and that's going to reduce the harm that are caused by drugs.